Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Funk Hauser Situation, episode 62. Man, we haven't been out in a while. Good to see you guys. Glad you guys could make it to our thing today.
What a description.
That voice is Lee Cruz, my friend, co-host. How are you doing, Lee?
I'm great. I enjoyed the summer hiatus that, well, you were off doing gallivanting things.
Yeah, yeah.
You're a gallivanter.
I'm a gallivanter. I'm a man about town. You know how it works. You are, too.
Not really.
I've seen you on Facebook. You're getting around.
Well, I'm just hanging around. I'm
just getting around.
Waiting for you to come back.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure. It's good to see you. We haven't really seen each other. Since
in weeks,
yeah, we've talked, but we haven't seen each other. It's good to see you. Look well, rested.
Yeah, you look like you've been put through the ringer.
I have been put through the ringer. I look terrible, don't I?
What have you been doing?
You know, this and that,
mm-hmm.
To and fro.
Can't tell us.
Can't talk about it.
Yep.
Nope. Can't talk about it. But what we can talk about,
is
what's going on in the pop culture landscape,
okay.
As we are wont to do on this show.
All right.
Lee, let's jump right into it. Last we talked, we were going to go see Spider-Man.
Yep. With Mysterio.
Yep. Spider-Man, as I call it.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Spider-Man.
He goes to London.
He went to
Europe. Ends up in London.
That's in Europe.
Yeah. Well, I know, but I said London, but he went to, at first they went to Europe. They went to
Italy.
Yeah, Italy, then they end up in, where was the other place? Where'd they end up? Forgot.
France.
No, they wanted to go to Paris.
They ended in France. No, did they do?
They ended in London.
They end in London?
Yes, they end in London.
They didn't get to France?
I think they wanted to go to Paris because that's where he wanted to do the thing where he wanted to give her a kiss on the Eiffel Tower.
He didn't do that?
No, man. He didn't do that. Was it Budapest? Where'd they go?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it is Budapest.
Maybe.
Something like that. Some sort of
Prague,
maybe?
Maybe it's Prague.
Maybe so.
Could have been
that,
Prague. Yeah. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Now, in the whole time I kept thinking, didn't we talk about this? Because you were concerned that the whole movie was going to be built on the fact that there was these multiverses that Thanos created, and we're going to have to hear about the Endgame movie throughout.
Yeah.
And you were wrong.
Well, I was partially right.
Yeah, but you were fooled by Mysterio.
Yes.
Because I told you Captain America went back and clipped all the branches. There are no multiverses.
Correct, but there still was a snap. Well, they call it in the movie the blip.
Yeah, the blip.
Whereas everybody just kind of went to sleep and woke back up, what, how many years later?
Five.
5 years later.
But I don't understand why you don't think that wouldn't be something you deal with.
Well, of course it's something you deal with. My point was that I don't think we need to talk about it over and over again, because if so, we can't ever get on with the Marvel Universe.
You must be one heck of a domestic partner.
Just
because
get on,
when I just dealt with a 5-year absence, all you want to say is, I don't want to talk about it anymore. We're never going to get through our feelings if you deny us this.
Well, they had to address it in Spider-Man because you're dealing with high school, which is where years actually count the most, probably.
Right.
You know, whereas, you know, if you are in
there's a lot of
eighth
questions
grade, and
to
all
be
of a sudden,
asked. When the Hulk brought him back, right, snaps his fingers, and now he has a withered arm.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. In Endgame.
Yeah.
Which I watched last night.
How many times have you seen it now?
It's five. I've seen it five times.
Let's see. 15 P's for you?
What does that mean?
If you go pee
three times
per movie.
Well, no, if you watch it at home, you don't have to do that anymore. You can just.
Oh, you're on video now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's no excuse for you for an Avengers fan and not have seen it. This
right.
Point. We can talk
absolutely
about this, right?
But the question is, let's say some of the folks, because half of life disappeared, including bacteria, right?
Oh, yeah.
But let's say half of those folks were flying in a plane, and now the Hulk snaps them back into existence. Are they at 50,000 feet?
We're talking about Manifest.
Yeah.
The show that
you
love
show.
So
I
much.
I did like that show.
What happened to it?
No, they canceled it.
Did they really?
Yeah.
I told you they were going to cancel it. That's why I didn't watch it.
I like the premise.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed that singular premise.
But apparently the Hulk put them back safely wherever they were. I assume that's how it worked.
Yeah. I mean, the thing about Endgame is when they were walking through the streets, there were all these dilapidated cars and everything like that. You didn't see any of that in Spider-Man.
Yeah, well, I guess you're right.
They've cleaned everything up.
They cleaned it up.
By this point.
Yeah.
All kids who were freshmen are still freshmen, only they're 5 years older.
Yeah.
Which is a convenient way for
them.
Well, I don't
know. They're not older. They're just 5 years behind their fellow peers who didn't get snapped.
Who didn't get snapped, right.
Which is kind of like the show Manifest.
Yeah.
Because there were twins on a plane that were going to take the flight, and one went on another flight.
Yeah.
And now
I didn't realize
one's 5 years older.
Maybe it was a tie-in. Maybe it was an ancillary story.
Could have been.
And it was all they were focus grouping in-game with Manifest to see how people react.
Mm-hmm.
But I liked it. I thought it was good. And
Spider-Man, you liked.
I did like it, yeah. Yes. And I loved, and we talked about this at length on the phone, I love the Mysterio character.
Yeah.
Because you are meant to believe he's some sort of, first of all, you're meant to believe he's some sort of superhero.
Right.
That has come through the multiverses.
Correct.
Right?
Right.
And he befriends Spider-Man. Jake Gyllenhaal.
Fatherly figure.
Charismatic. Yeah, exactly.
He's great.
Although, did you ever think, I mean, you had to be an idiot to think he was going to be a good guy. For the uninitiated, completely, you were supposed to think that.
Right,
but
right.
If you know anything about Spider-Man and his villains,
right.
You had to know that Mysterio was going to be turned out to be a bad guy. But you didn't know how that was going to manifest itself. And how it did manifest itself was...
Tony Stark technology.
He was a disgruntled Stark employee.
Yeah.
Who was now out of work and still had all the skill set and knew the ins and outs of what Stark was working on. And
I bet that just burned you up, didn't it? Sitting there having to watch a flashback with Robert Downey Jr. again.
How did it make you feel?
I enjoyed it.
To know that,
I liked Tony Stark.
But you were the Tony Stark of WLEX. And now I'm the Jake Gyllenhaal.
That is true.
And I'm using all your old jokes and mad about it, trying to take your rightful place at WLEX, and it's not working. So he ends up being in the comics, he was a stuntman.
Right.
Which, in the way, it's kind of the same thing here. He still has his crew, and it's like a film crew. They're creating these giant action sequences.
And they provided backstories for those guys. They grabbed some of the actors that were in the previous Marvel movies, like from the Hulk. Mm-hmm. It was good to see. I liked how they tied that in.
It was clever. I mean, it was really clever and funny. And, I mean,
What does the dry erase board look like at the head offices of Marvel Studios?
Oh, man. It must look like the Homeland board.
Got all these
strings.
Oh, you know what we could do here? And then we could put this character in, you know.
Or somebody walks in and goes, hey, guys, listen. I was watching The Incredible Hulk with Edward Norton this weekend. Yeah. And there's a guy that'd be perfect for this movie 25 movies later.
Right.
Let's get him. He's probably not doing anything. He was just a computer tech in that movie. But now, you know, he could have really risen through the ranks.
Yeah. Who is it? Jeff Bridges? Yeah.
Jeff Bridges.
No.
No.
Yeah, no, it's Jeff Bridges that yells at that guy. It was Jeff Bridges.
Yeah, what's his name in that movie? No, it's not Jeff Bridges. Jeff Bridges is the bad guy in Iron Man.
That's my mistake. Because it was Iron Man.
Yeah.
Because the guy says, well, he goes, we can't do it. He goes, well, Tony Stark did it. And he says, I'm not Tony Stark.
Right.
So it was Jeff Bridges.
Right. Yeah. So Jake Gyllenhaal wants to be the next Tony Stark.
Right.
He wants to capture so he's creating these set pieces and then solving them.
Right.
So he looks like the new Thor, basically.
Yeah. Because
he's dressed all in the cape and everything like that. But it was good. Funny.
Yeah.
Quick. I don't know that it was as funny as the first.
Is he your favorite Spider-Man? We've had three now recently.
Yes.
Tobey Maguire, then the lanky kid.
Garfield.
Yeah.
Andrew Garfield.
Andrew Garfield.
Yeah. I don't count those. I didn't like those.
What, Andrew Garfield?
Yeah.
He had two of them.
Yeah, I didn't like them.
They were okay.
I mean, it's fine. But, I mean, I think Tobey Maguire, and I actually argued this with people the other day. I think that Tobey Maguire, for his place and time in the movie, was a great choice for Peter Parker and Spider-Man.
All right.
Because I thought he played it well. He was similarly a young kid, befuddled.
Yeah.
Trying to figure it out.
I think I could have done better.
you could have done better.
I was at that age.
As a 40-something-year-old man.
No, when those movies came out, I could have played that part.
Come on, Lee.
What?
How old are you?
I'm Tobey Maguire's age.
Not then. Not when that movie came out. You're saying,
you moron.
You're saying when Tobey Maguire played Spider-Man, they should have given you a screen test.
That's exactly what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. I could have done it.
You could have done it?
Sure, I could have.
Were you in good physical shape back then?
Probably not. But that's all padding.
That's true. They could fix that in post,
fix it.
Right?
That's right. Maybe not in those days.
But I think Tobey Maguire was a good Spider-Man.
No, I thought he was pretty
when
good.
When he was the only Spider-Man we had, he was great.
But I like this kid better. I think.
Now we have something to compare him to, and I like this kid better, too.
Yeah. It's crazy that he's British.
Yeah.
His American accent is spot on.
Yeah. How well is Marissa Tomei aging, by the way?
Yeah.
I mean, she's not young anymore.
Aunt May.
And she still looks like she did 10 or 15 years ago. And right. We haven't seen her really. I haven't seen her in a movie in a while. Mm-hmm. Till these Spider-Man movies, and she's great. Mm-hmm. Now they have the romance between her and Happy, which is Favreau. Right. Favreau's great in those movies.
Yeah, he is great.
That dude isn't. He has to be like just top of the list for people Disney calls for anything.
Well, obviously he's directed. Right? I don't know how many movies.
Right. He's directed. He did
the
Jungle
original
Book.
Iron Man.
He did Iron Man. He did the incredible. But not only Disney owned Iron Man then, right? They didn't own Marvel then.
Well, Marvel owned themselves.
Right. And then he's also, since he's directed Jungle Book, he's directed the new Lion King. He's in all the Marvel movies.
Yep.
He's doing I think he's still attached to the Boba Fett show on Disney Plus, which was a big news on that yesterday.
What was the news? I didn't hear it.
They announced that
this is their streaming service?
Their streaming service is going to be, and this is actually really great, they are going to bundle a $12.99 package that includes Disney Plus, ESPN Plus, and Hulu.
What?
It's going to give Netflix
it's
a
over.
Big run. I mean, that's it's pretty
over.
Big. Because they have TV as it comes out, sports as it happens, and the biggest bankable movie chains,
Star Wars,
Marvel. All the kids' shows that parents should watch with their kids. I don't know if they're planning on doing all
that. And let's not forget Tangled.
Tangled will be on there. Yeah.
Did you see? Somebody tweeted at us the other day. They were watching it with the luminaries.
I saw that. They were very touched by that scene.
Who wouldn't be?
Yeah.
A heartless bastard.
They tweeted the scene of the luminaries floating around. When they were watching it with their child, and they were talking about how moved they were.
I was moved.
You were moved. My take on it is that's a lot of fire floating around. Could be dangerous.
Yeah, but so what?
Well, I mean,
what's wrong with a little danger? What's wrong with losing one or two houses with their thatch roof? You should do the shingles.
Well, they didn't have shingles back in Tangled.
Oh, right? They do. You can make shingles. You can make those clay shingles. You can make those.
What? I don't even know what time period Tangled is set in. Do you know?
Well, it's medieval.
You said what?
But even then, they could make a roof.
Is it medieval or is it "quote unquote" fantasy world?
Well, the same thing.
Well, it is.
Yeah.
There was no medieval time.
Obviously, you're on
there
horseback.
There was no medieval period.
It's before the industrial age.
Right.
So.
Right. Yeah, that's true. I mean, there's nothing. Is there anything? Well, outside of all the magic, is there anything else in that movie that takes place in a different world than our own?
What does that mean?
What I mean is that story rooted? You've seen this movie way more than me. Is that movie rooted in a reality that could be? I mean, is there?
No, it's all fantasy.
I mean, obviously, no one's hair can get that long.
The horse talks, doesn't it?
I don't think it does.
Oh, you're right. It doesn't.
Maybe you should watch it.
maybe the horse talked to me.
Yeah, that's right.
Maybe I had an edible.
Maybe
the horse was talking to me.
Done a little pre-gaming before you had to see Tangled.
Too many cocktails. Yeah. And the horse is talking to me.
But back to Spider-Man. I could watch 9 more of these. I hope they just keep making them.
Yeah.
Although I think we're almost out of villains.
If you could be any Marvel hero, though, who would you be?
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah. I see you as an Ant-Man.
That seems like a lot of gear to keep up with. He has to carry his suit everywhere. I don't want to do that. I'd probably go Spider-Man.
Really?
Yeah, because Spider-Man's super strong, like me. Mm-hmm. He's
agile, like
he's
you.
He's agile, like
when I,
me.
When I think of agility, it's you.
Yeah. I mean, he kind of...
Watching you get into this chair reminded me a lot of...
Actually, the one you would want to be, and you would never say, you would never admit to this, but the one you would want to be would be Captain Marvel, because she's the most powerful person of all of them.
Yeah, well, no thank you.
Why not, Lee?
Because it's earned, not given.
Well, Spider-Man's wasn't earned.
Yeah, I feel like it was.
Whose was earned?
Tony Stark
is the only one that's
earned. Tony Stark.
I'm assuming you would be Tony Stark if you could
probably
choose.
I mean, the nanotechnology now, you know, you just wear a little bracelet and it...
And you could, yeah.
That's kind of cool.
The billionaire playboy type.
Well, sure.
Yeah. I that's great. Are there any other Spider-Man villains we haven't touched on?
Villains?
Yeah, villains.
Well, Doc Ock.
Well, but he's kind of been covered in Spider-Man 2. I mean, like, I'm talking about has not appeared in a Spider-Man movie.
I don't know who's left.
I don't either. Because they did all of
the
Sinister
Goblins.
Six and the Garfield ones, right?
They did the...
They did Electro and Rhino and Green Goblin.
Which, Rhino was Paul Giamatti.
Yeah, that's an excellent
Which
piece
I guess,
casting.
Why didn't... They should have done more with that guy.
Yeah, because they got Paul Giamatti.
Yeah, why wouldn't you... Do more with
I feel
him.
Like Paul Giamatti just kind of does stuff for fun.
Yeah.
You know, because Paul Giamatti's in a lot of small things, I feel mm-hmm. like.
Love Paul Giamatti.
I do, too. What's he doing now? Billions, I guess? Is he on that show?
I
on
I don't watch
Showtime?
That.
I don't watch it either. You know what I do watch, though, that's similar to Billions, is Black Monday on Showtime.
Oh, yeah, you told me about it. I haven't seen it yet.
I love it. If you have Showtime and you haven't watched Black Monday, you should really check that out. That is Don Cheadle, who I know you love.
Like Don Cheadle.
Brody. Regina King. Horatio Sanz is in it.
I like Horatio.
Paul Scheer has a very big role. You know Paul Scheer? He has a very large role in it. And it all takes place in, like, 1987 or 88, I think. Mm-hmm. And it's all leading – the whole show is – the whole first season of the show is leading up to a crash at the end of the show.
Right.
And at the beginning of the first episode, you see a body fly out a window and land in a Lamborghini limousine.
Right.
And you don't know who it is until you watch the whole show. But here's the thing about that show is it's really interesting because it is a really clever and inventive show, and it is riddled with – silly 80s jokes. So it's like a very silly show wrapped around a very clever, solid show.
Uh-huh.
So, like, for example, you have the Lehman Brothers, who are twins, and they are major characters, and they're both played by Ken Marino of the State. So that's a comic character. And there's a whole bunch of jokes about how they're having an incestuous relationship and everything like that. So, like I said, I mean, it's a clever show. Like, the wheelings and dealings of the finances in that show are very intricate and interesting, but they've wrapped it in all these jokes like, hey, you know, that Greg Louganis, bet he has a lot of ladies, you know, stuff like that. It's all jokes like that. It's all very un-PC, which is what I texted you, you know, like it's got a lot of very un-PC jokes in it for comedy's sake, but I like it. I think it's a really fun show. I think you would love it.
I'll check it out. By the way, you mentioned Jon Favreau. He also directed the new Lion King. Which I saw. Did you see?
I have not seen it yet. I'll be honest with you. I was excited for a really long time about it, and then it kind of came out, and I kind of was like, I don't know that I'm as excited as I was. No.
Well, a couple of things. One, again, it really is just a complete rehash of the animated film, which is much better, in my opinion.
Right.
Two, I saw it the night after I watched Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Which we're going to get to.
We'll get to that in a minute.
Toward the tail end of this episode, because if you haven't seen it, we're going to be able to talk about it.
I just wasn't in the mindset to see this. And it just, and I'm a Disney fan, as you know.
Yeah.
They don't need to do this. Stop it.
Well, tell me this. At least tell me
Aladdin was okay.
At least tell me Billy Eichner and Seth Rogen brought it.
They were okay. They were probably the best part of the film.
Yeah.
The
thing I hear the most about is that... And Daniel and I talked about this, the cameraman, is that apparently people's problem with it is that seeing these animals talking is off-putting.
Well, I will say this. I don't know if it's off-putting.
Which makes me think people didn't see Jungle Book, because that's the same thing.
Right. Honestly,
or
the
Babe.
The Jungle Book, and maybe because of the animals they used in the Jungle Book, the sync isn't as good as you would think. You know,
In Lion King or Jungle Book?
In Lion King. Jungle Book, it worked better. In Lion King, it was like a half-hearted effort to synchronize the actors' voices with the animals.
Okay.
So there wasn't a lot of mechanical movement that matched enunciations.
Right.
Yeah, you know, it was just like they almost did it like you would do it in the old days, where you give a horse some peanut butter and, you know, just try to match
just
Mr. Ed.
Blankly opening and shutting their mouth.
Yeah. There was, but again, I don't know how you would do that with a warthog.
But they did it in Jungle Book, so
that's what I'm saying.
3 or 4 years
but
ago,
the
they
Jungle
should have
Book
been able to do it even better.
You know, the lions, I guess, you had a panther, you had a bear, and you had. You had,
Louis,
you
had all of the wolves, whole wolf family.
I don't know. It just didn't feel that. It seemed like it was a very half-hearted effort in synchronization.
So you're saying it is not as good as Jungle Book was?
No, I wasn't a huge fan of Jungle Book. It was okay. Again, if you got, okay, we're going to watch versions of these movies, I'm choosing the animated version every time.
I'm with you 100%. And I say
the
that
performances are better.
Aladdin, which is the same situation. Although I feel like, from what it sounds like, they at least gave Will Smith a little bit more to work with.
Yeah. Well, I think
they had to.
Who
though.
Directed that? It was Madonna's ex.
Oh, Guy Ritchie.
Guy Ritchie. Yeah. And I think he made the right call and said, don't try to be Robin Williams. You just be you. And we'll sell that.
Mm-hmm. Whereas in Lion King, they were like, look, do the lines as they're written.
Yeah.
Don't get squirrely.
But, I would rather have heard Nathan Lane do it.
He still could have done it.
I know. If you're going to use James Earl Jones, why don't you use the original cast?
Yeah. Well, I guess people didn't want to hear that. John Oliver, though, it takes over for Rowan Atkinson.
I'd rather Rowan Atkinson did a better job.
I love John Oliver, though. You know how I feel
about Rowan. I like Rowan Atkinson better than John Oliver. I like John Oliver, but I like Rowan Atkinson better.
Yeah, it's all
and in that role especially.
This all begs the question, though, which is something I wanted to talk about today. Do we need these?
No, we don't need these.
We don't.
Why
do
are
we
doing that? It's a money grab.
It is a money grab. You're right. It's a money grab, and it's
speaking of money grab. Would anybody like to sponsor our podcast?
That's a great. This is a great place to say this. Money grab speaking. Get your money grab.
Yeah.
By advertising on the Funkhauser situation, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
As you've heard us talk at length of the wonderful Jake's Cigar Bar.
Oh, we love that
You
place.
Know, and you have seen how well we extol the virtues of that place. We can do the same for your business,
mm-hmm.
right?
And yeah, if this is your business, we could be talking about it right now.
I know. We would wrap it all into this Lion King conversation
right.
just like you want your yep. advertising to be,
uh-huh.
right?
Absolutely.
And Maria, if they do, what do they, who do they?
KSR Ads at Kentucky Sports Radio.
KSR Ads. At KentuckySportsRadio.com.
KSR Ads at KentuckySportsRadio.com. Shoot Maria an email. Be nice to her. She's a good friend of ours. Don't be rude. And
Is that happening a lot?
I don't know. Is that happening a lot, Maria? Is anybody ever rude to you?
No.
Okay, if they are, you tell us. All right? Well, they'll go on our list, and we don't talk about them in ill ways on this podcast. But, no, we don't need these.
Don't need it.
We don't need them. And I say this because yesterday was announced that Disney is going to reboot Home Alone.
I don't want to see that.
Okay, first of all, Home Alone's perfect as is.
Yeah, leave it alone.
There's nothing wrong with Home Alone. What are they going to do? Here's what they're going to do. They're going to add some drones in.
Yeah.
They're going to add a bunch of electronics, which is something that Macaulay Culkin did not have in the original Home Alone, which made it so pure. You know, he was a child.
Right.
Now, I guess, you know, Kevin McAllister is going to have all kinds of toys and electronic devices at his disposal, and smartphones and apps and things like that.
And I guess you'll have Billy Eichner and Seth Rogen as the bumbling.
That actually wouldn't be terrible.
Yeah.
They would not be bad in those roles. I love both of those guys. But you can't have Pesci, because Pesci, I just saw him in the Irishman trailer. He's looking old. Did you see that yet?
I didn't see that, but I saw a photo of him. I was like, ooh, Joe has not aged well.
No, he hasn't. But, you know, everybody else in that trailer looks great. Pacino looks awesome. Like, Pacino does not look old at all. And he looked old in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. He did not look old.
Well, that was, it was
plays,
a lot of prosthetics.
I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I believe Pacino plays Jimmy Hoffa in The Irishman, which is, I don't know exactly what that story is, but you've got your Pacino, your De Niro, your Pesci. I'm assuming your Keitel's going to be in there somewhere.
Yeah.
You got, oh, you know who is in that movie in, I think, a pretty significant role. And this surprised me because I'm not a huge fan of this guy, but you might be. Sebastian Maniscalco.
Oh, yeah.
Who is really a very hot comedian right now.
Yep.
Have you seen his act?
Yeah, he does. His signature piece is, and it's brilliant, is how we now, as a society, react to when uninvited company shows up. Have you seen that?
No.
It's brilliant.
It sounds good.
Yeah, because he talks about in the old days, you go back 3 or 4 decades, when somebody would ring the doorbell, you'd almost be excited. Like, well, hey, come on in. And that your mother had cookies prepared.
Yeah.
Just you can't. Kids, don't touch those. Those are for company.
I remember growing up, and you probably grew up in the same era where I remember when I was a kid, we lived in Maysville, and we had family in Manchester, Ohio, and Lewis County, and everything like that. And we had family members and family friends that would just go for a ride, a quote-unquote ride on Sunday,
right.
And they would just end up at our house.
That's
and
in
would,
my act. And I talk would, about the Sunday
the
drive in my act. You
yeah,
know.
And they just come by, and whatever was going on, we were all just sitting out on the porch. Their parents would just sit on the porch with them till
You juxtapose it to a child today, in my act, what I talk about is put an American kid in a car with no entertainment devices and say you just got to look out the window.
Right.
And listen to old people talk about gout. See how well that goes over.
Did your parents have gout?
Well, grandmother did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
She was in between you guys in the back seat?
No, she was in the front,
yeah.
But Sebastian's act is great because now when the doorbell rings, it becomes this red alert situation. Like, everybody's like, shh, be quiet.
Yeah.
Get the gun. What is this?
Well, there's also the ring thing now where you can see who's at the door.
Of course, yeah.
You can know whether you need to
hide. Do you
have
one of those?
No, I don't. We don't
you
even
got
have
the ring,
we don't
the
even
nest.
Have a doorbell.
Really?
Yeah.
People
we live in a really old house, and it has this old doorbell that at one time when you pulled, it would ring a bell, like the opposite of a bell on on an old desk where you'd ring for service.
Right.
And it's not worked forever, and we've never missed it, to be honest.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, nobody comes over.
Nobody wants to come to our house.
Your wife lets her hair down. You climb up the tower, right?
That's exactly what happens when I get home. But, yeah.
Speaking of Sebastian, though, he's one of the guests on Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee this season.
Okay.
And I love this season. And my two Eddie Murphy, first of all. It was great to see him.
How is he in that? Is he back to?
He's
does he great. Seem like old
yeah.
Eddie Murphy? Seems
yeah,
like he's
pretty much
enjoying
pretty much.
Life. And
oh yeah, and he knows that he needs to go back. He even says Don Rickles, before he died, told him you got to go back. You got
to
get back up
to
there.
To stand up or just movies?
Yeah, because stand up because that's what Jerry's asking. He goes.
Ooh,
well,
man.
I know I need to get in there and start working out, and doing the work.
Why isn't he? Does
there
he
was
give,
no
does
bigger.
Well,
I just think he atrophied. His comedy muscles atrophy.
Well, he did a lot of light lifting movies.
Yeah,
Haunted
but that's
Mansion,
different.
Daddy
that's
Daycare,
completely
a thousand
different.
Words.
It's completely different than being on stage and.
But what
and
I'm saying is, he got lazy, and decided it's easier to do these kiddie movies than to get out there and hit the road
and
workshop
put the
a
work
new.
In, right.
Plus, I mean, it's probably honestly. Let's be honest. You're a comic. It's probably a little intimidating because. He's arguably got two of the greatest stand-up specials in history in Delirious and
Absolutely.
Raw. So if he comes back and it's not good, then his name is now Sully.
Right. So, yeah. And it's hard to work it out without a cell phone.
Yeah.
You can try to protect yourself the best you can, but eventually it's going to leak out. So, and that's the thing about comedy. A punchline is a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
And if people know these jokes already, it's going to be tough because he was the biggest name in comedy.
Yeah, and, well, the thing is, he could do it now, though, because I was at Comedy Cellar last week in New York City, and they give you a pouch. You have to put your phone in and seal it. Thanks, Hannibal Buress, by the way.
Yeah.
I think Chappelle, though, I think he was the first to do that. But Hannibal Buress famously caught with the Bill Cosby stuff.
Yeah.
But, by the way, I don't think he gets enough credit. He pretty much pulled the Jenga piece out.
Yeah.
That led to Cosby's toppling.
Who was Jerry talking to about that? In It was Seth Rogen. Seth Rogen's on this season as well. And Seth was with Hannibal either the night he said it, or because they were with, well, no, here's what happened. They were with Bill Cosby in a limousine. It goes Seth Rogen, Hannibal Buress, and Bill Cosby. And he goes, Hannibal was not being very nice to Bill Cosby, who is iconic and like, what's the deal? And he says he leans over in the limo and whispers to him and says, he's a rapist. He's like, what? Yeah. He goes, that's the first I ever heard of it.
Really?
Yeah.
While they're in
the,
while they're in the limo,
and Bill Cosby's sitting right across from him. He goes, this guy's a rapist.
Why were they in the limo with Bill Cosby?
It was some award show.
It
was an award show where they gave him some sort of
interesting
achievement, lifetime achievement, because Jerry didn't want it or something. I don't know. It all tied in with Jerry, of course. But the I will say this. The other thing about this comedian in cars getting coffee, my favorite – what a talent Jamie Foxx is.
Really?
Good night.
You think so?
First of all, you know he's a classical trained pianist, right?
Yeah, we can't say that on here. What did you say?
Pianist.
Oh, pianist.
It's unbelievable what he can do with his pianist.
Okay.
So that's his beginning. Mm-hmm. Then he does comedy. Obviously, he can do sketch. We know that from his in Living Color days.
He can rap.
Yes. He can sing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, his Oscar-winning performance in Ray, he has an Academy Award, right?
Yeah.
This guy starts doing impressions. It's the best impression of Dave Chappelle I've ever heard.
I gotta watch that.
It is so spot on. It's hilarious. And then he goes right into Robert Downey Jr., an impression of him, and it is spot on.
Really?
He does
Robert Downey Jr. That's got to be like
– it's so good.
That's got to be like Kevin Spacey doing William Hurt on SNL. Like
it's
one of those
great guys
you don't think of.
Right. Who could do an impression – I never thought of anybody doing an impression of Robert Downey, but it's perfect.
I love it when comedians have really esoteric impressions.
Yeah,
One of my favorites is Maya Rudolph playing Felicia Rashad on SNL, and I was like, I've never thought she had any like – ticks that you would recognize, and then Maya Rudolph played her perfectly.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I'm going to be honest with you. I've always been somewhat of a Jamie Foxx detractor.
I love him.
I think because he's kind of pompous. I think that always kind
of – I don't think he is at all.
You don't think so?
No.
Well, let me say this. He is an Oscar winner.
Yes, he is.
He's probably – I don't think he won a Grammy, although – no, he didn't win a Grammy, but I don't think, unless he did it for Gold Digger. Because didn't he sing Gold Digger on Kanye's –
yep.
Song. But you know what he's doing now that's really great?
What?
The Shazam show, game show on Fox.
No.
And I say that meaning that it's not great.
I don't know about that. I don't care about that. But I know he is making a movie with Robert Downey Jr. They got something coming up.
That'd
they
be
got
fun.
Something coming up. Of course, they did that film, remember, where he played the homeless guy. And what was it called? It was based on a true story in Los Angeles.
Violin playing homeless guy.
Yeah. He
cello was, playing homeless guy.
And, Downey was a reporter, I think, something like that. Yeah.
I will say this, in Jamie Foxx's defense, he has one of my favorite acting performances in history, and it is your boy Tom Cruise, Collateral, where he plays a cab driver who has to cart a hitman around L.A.
Oh, yeah, I love that movie.
And the one thing I've always said about the movie that it makes his performance so great is he acts in that movie exactly how you would think.
Right.
A cab driver put into that situation would act. It's an amazing performance. Yeah. Like he doesn't change at all.
It's a Michael Mann movie.
Yeah, he doesn't want to be a part of it. Yeah. He wants to get out of this situation. He doesn't. In most movies like that, obviously, it becomes a buddy movie, and then you're helping the guy. And
right.
He doesn't really do that. He wants out of this situation the entire time.
Right.
Impressionist wise, also on Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee is our favorite Melissa Villaseñor, who gets the shortest episode of the season.
Yeah. She seemed like she was intimidated the entire time.
She giggled a lot.
Yeah.
I also, and this was one of the episodes, and I talked about this with you, and we're in the third season or fourth season now.
Oh, God.
Third?
No, it's longer than that.
Okay. Well,
of Comedians in Cars?
Yeah.
Oh, no, he's like a seventh or eighth.
Oh, in Netflix, in terms of Netflix.
Oh, okay, yeah, maybe third.
And Jerry is a little bit high horse at this point.
Yeah, but I think that's an act as well.
Well, he opens the Melissa Villaseñor thing going, those phone calls that you get that change your life? This is one of those phone calls. You know, that's him. That's my – you like that, Jerry?
Yeah, it's great. you know what? Again, here's what I understand what you're saying. because you're not part of the family.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but why don't you teach me?
But being a comic Yoda. Myself, as I told you, Jerry's sort of like the president of the union.
Right.
He's always looking out for our best interest. He always takes care of the comics. He thinks like a comic, and he tells you how. He sort of translates it for the uninitiated and the lay people so you can understand how comics think.
Thanks, Jerry.
I'm just saying, I like the guy.
I like him, too. I do like him a lot. When I was at the Cellar, I saw one of the greats, Colin Quinn.
I love Colin Quinn.
Got to work out some stuff. Now, he was middle of the pack because he, yeah. I think, was working some stuff out. And the reason I know that is because I look over in the doorway at one point, and Rich Voss and Chris DiStefano are standing there watching him.
Yeah.
Which means he was probably like, hey, watch me and see if this works. So he was middle of the pack. He probably wasn't the best. Joe Mackey, do you know this guy?
Yeah.
He was very funny. Was on Last Comic Standing, I think, a few seasons ago. And then Gary Goldman, the great Gary Goldman, closed it, and he killed. He was
brilliant.
Awesome. Yeah, he's really good. We've talked about his naming, his abbreviating the states bit.
Yeah, that's his signature piece.
Which is so funny.
Yeah, you can find that. I think he did that on Conan, didn't he?
I think so. And you can find it on YouTube. If you haven't seen that, go look up Gary Goldman, Gulman, and the abbreviating
that,
the states.
I mean, the world he creates in that whole thing. Because it's all just made up, and it seems so real, but it's so wonderful.
He treats it as a real historical event.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, it was good. Aziz Ansari's new special, did you watch it yet?
I haven't seen it yet. Everybody says they love it.
I thought it was great, and I thought that he opens and closes with the controversy around him, by the way, which I think it's probably good that he did that. Mm-hmm. He has a bit in there. I would have reorganized his special. Because his last bit is not as good as, like, his third bit, which is he does a whole segment on Michael Jackson and R. Kelly that is killer.
Yeah.
I mean, it is great. And he really should have ended with that because after that, the next segment was not as good.
Yeah.
You know, it was about IUDs, so it was a little more lowbrow, you know.
Okay.
So I would have gone. Probably would have gone. Led with the IUDs.
Yeah.
Ended with the R. Kelly. Yeah. You know, don't show the kids.
Yeah. Okay.
This special. I think it goes without saying. But it's pretty good.
Well, are we going to talk about our film that
let's
we?
Let's do it. Yeah. So let's now talk about it. If you haven't seen this, you can
are
feel
we
free
give
to
spoilers?
Tune out now. Because I think we should talk about it with spoilers at this point. Because I think it's more fun if we talk about it with spoilers. We're going to talk about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, but Tarantino's new movie. Lee, you and I both saw this.
Yeah.
And your take and my take was very similar. I loved it.
I loved it.
I don't think it's not problematic in parts, but I did love it.
Yeah, there was, the payoff was worth it. So at two-thirds of the way through, I thought, well, I it's a great character study, but where's the daggone plot? And then he unveils it, and it's like, oh, okay, I see where we're going now. We're good.
Yeah.
But the performances were stellar from Brad Pitt and Leonardo DiCaprio. They were fantastic.
And they're both different performances. So Brad Pitt, you know, Tarantino has been circling playing these characters who are just endlessly cool in all of his movies.
Yeah.
All the way back. I mean, it could even be argued that Michael Madsen's role in Reservoir Dogs is very cool guy role, even though he cuts off a cop's ear and everything like that. But he's meant to be the cool guy in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Pulp Fiction, you've got Travolta and Samuel L. being the cool guy.
Right.
You know, but this is the first movie I think he just goes all in and goes, you know what, I've danced around this. I'm just going to flat out write a Steve McQueen character.
Yeah.
That's just super cool, and Pitt pulls it off.
No, he was brilliant.
He's so cool in the movie.
I mean, DiCaprio is just as good, if not better, too. Because DiCaprio, and I think we agree, was the yin and yang of emotional roller coaster, which he kept it contained as to you. It was believable. Mm-hmm. So it was just somebody who is bipolar, essentially, and can't handle the roller coaster ride that is Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
I love both of those guys. It was such a good buddy film. It was a
it
was
really
a
is.
Great
it's just kind
buddy
of a
movie.
Hanging out movie.
Yeah,
you know, like, but the thing about DiCaprio is he plays a very tightrope line. His role is a washed up TV actor who's trying to get back out there
right.
and recreate himself. but he plays it in a way where he's on this line of sad character and loony stereotype character of the same type of person, right?
And it doesn't
he's very funny in it.
Right, and it doesn't take much for him to get back to that high, though. It's just, you know, somebody giving him a compliment, and now he's back on cloud nine.
And then he gets depressed, and then
he implodes.
Him.
Oh, yeah. I love the scene in the trailer where he's just so mad at himself.
He says he's not going to drink anymore,
and
then he pours himself a shot.
What are you doing? And then he gets mad at
What are you doing? Don't do that anymore. But, of course, you know, and here's where the spoiler comes in, the ancillary parallel plot to the movie. Is this okay, Maria, if we talk about this? Okay.
Not seen it, Maria?
Oh, jeez,
I'm
sorry.
We're for Maria.
Man. Is the Manson family farm out on Spahn's Ranch.
Yeah.
And how they sort of tie into that in a way that ends up being creating them as a piece of the famous Manson family murder night.
Which is true, by the way.
Yeah. I went back and read all that stuff, and there's a lot of actual facts in that movie.
I remember hearing a podcast with, I think it was Mark Maron's WTF podcast, with Bryan Cranston. Mm-hmm. And Bryan Cranston, who is, him and his brother went to Hollywood, and they were very young. He said, we thought one day, let's go horseback riding, and they run into Charlie Manson out there.
Wow.
And we met him, and then like 2 weeks later, we see him on the news, as the guy who was the orchestrator
of. What a
story. But they go, we met him.
Oh, man. So Sharon Tate is played by Margot Robbie, who I don't think had a whole lot to do. I'm going to come out and say that.
Okay.
I feel like, I kind of see why there's an argument that he did not give her a lot to do, because she really didn't do a lot. Her biggest scene is her watching a movie of herself.
Yeah. But let me ask you this question. What was the dirty feet fetish?
Oh, it's everywhere. There's feet all over that movie. Every character is introduced from the ground up.
With
every
their
single
feet.
One. There's
and
dirty feet
dirty
hanging
feet
over chairs.
Everywhere.
There's dirty feet pressed against car windows.
Yeah. What was that about?
Well, that's his thing. I think that he's trolling everybody, because I think that's always been a thing that people kind of railed him on.
About dirty feet?
Yeah, well, think about Pulp Fiction. I mean, you see Mia Wallace, you see Uma Thurman's feet all through
true.
That scene. Yeah. She kicks off her shoes at the dance contest.
Yeah.
When you first see her, you see her feet first, everything like that. And so I think he just was like, you know what? I'm just going to go all in. I'm going to just load this thing up with dirty feet.
He did.
He sure did. There's a lot of it. And once you're tuned into that, you will notice them
even more.
The only
thing that would have made that better is it was in 3D. Because then you'd have the feet right
smell
in your face.
Smell-o-vision, yeah.
Wow.
But the climax, of course, of the movie is they live next door to Roman Polanski and Sharon Tate. And so
where the murders happen.
When the Manson goons come up there to kill them, they stop by
Rick Dalton's house.
They stop by DiCaprio's house first.
Yeah.
And Pitt is on acid.
Yeah.
And DiCaprio is drunk in the pool.
Yeah.
And they end up taking out Squeaky Fromm and the Tex guy and everybody.
Yeah.
In a very hilarious, it's a hilarious
That's
scene.
That's great. Here's the spirit of the movie, which maybe this is why I loved it so much. Because it really is centered around the friendship of those two guys. It reminded me of Tombstone.
I get that.
It was that Wyatt Earp, Doc Holliday, Val Kilmer, Kurt Russell, who's also in this movie and is great.
Yeah.
It had that feel to it, like you had this one guy who always stayed behind a little bit, even though probably he was even more talented. Mm-hmm. But all he did was give affirmation and positive thoughts to his buddy who was going through stuff.
Right.
And it's that way. That's the way this film is. It feels that way. I loved it.
You're exactly right about that. I totally agree. It's good. Did miss the signature monologue in them, but there is no real signature Tarantino monologue. There's no pocket watch. There's no scene of the tavern in Bastards. Like, that's the one thing I kept waiting for that never came. Outside of that, look, it's a Tarantino movie. The guy makes a movie every 4 years, and his worst movie is better than, 99% of directors' best movies. I would have watched another 3 hours.
I would have, too.
It was too long for my wife. It was 3 hours long. It was a little too long for her. But
my wife didn't care for it.
Yeah.
But I will say this. It's the most fun I've had in a theater, really, since Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou?
Oh, wow.
Like, I really was laughing out loud.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I was surprised you know, the spear gun scene was hilarious to me. I just loved everything about it.
It really is, you know, at the end of the day.
The Bruce Lee fight, all of
great.
It.
Anybody kills anybody in a fight, it's manslaughter. You go to jail. It's great. Bruce Lee's daughter, not happy with it.
Oh, really?
You can look that up.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
She is not happy with his portrayal in that movie. But it really is, at the end of the day, it's kind of like Tarantino saying, okay, I'm going to go make a comedy, and this is what a comedy by Quentin Tarantino looks like.
Yeah.
It's still not, it's not pratfalls and everything like that, but it's still very much a comedy.
Lines.
Yeah. But, yeah, so that's it. And you know what? We have just, in no time, I feel like, run through our time here today.
Wow.
I feel like we have so much more to talk about, but we can't right now.
No,
so.
We can't do it right now.
So let's get together next week.
Okay.
Do it again.
All right.
Thank you for joining us on episode 62 of the Funkhauser Situation. We hope you will consider sponsoring our show. You know what? Even if you want to buy airtime to wish your wife or loved one a happy birthday.
Oh, that's a good idea.
That's a good idea, isn't it?
How
about
that? Talk to Maria. Where do they go again, Maria?
KSR ads at
KentuckySportsRadio.com.
That's correct on your email device. Yeah. But thanks for joining us, guys. It's great to be with you again, and we will be with you again very soon. We promise we will not take this much of a hiatus again in the near future. And have a great day, everybody, and we'll see you. Goodbye.